Okay, fans, how you doing tonight? A little bit of technical difficulties, but we have the Tony Sands Show here coming to you live at the Tilted Kilt downtown Fort Lauderdale on the corner of Andrews and 2nd Avenue downtown. We are here with the Tony Sands Show, getting it going. Another good week of sports. A lot of things happening in the news, from NFL to college, and we have the high school playoffs going on here in South Florida. Going into the third round with some dominant teams in the high school sports football area. And then we have the Final Four of college, getting down to the Final Four, fans. And then big time Monday night matchup tonight. It's the Patriots and the Bills. Big time Monday night matchup, folks.
It's going on in full effect. It is in full effect because we got, listen, let's dig into it. We got Ryan. We got to hurry up and get into the show because we are a little behind. So we got Ryan Bartow coming to the air. He's going to get into his tour that he did in California and some of the kids he saw and some of the players that he got a chance to see. Hey, man, it's going to be an exciting show. We're going to get into Coach X being released again here and all over the nation. This is why it is what it is. This is why South Florida is the hottest place in the country when it comes to sports. Ohio State, Michigan.
Big game over the weekend. State. Very big game over the weekend.
And do Les Miles stay with the contract that he has, or do he decide?
Shocking. Shocking.
Let
they
want
to get rid of him. Shocking.
Some money. Let me go elsewhere to get my money, as Les Miles may say, because I think that situation has probably ran its course just the same as in Georgia with Mark Richt. That probably done ran its course as well.
Yes, big matchups down to the Final Four. We got some teams that have moved out of slots, like Ohio State. The Buckeyes have moved out of the slot. And what we have, big-time players saying, well, oh, well,
what is
moving
on
to the NFL.
And when they say I'm moving on to the NFL, what you have done, who cares? I'm going to throw you under the bus. It is what it is. Hey,
players,
you ain't getting the job done. We want to agree. I never heard what a player saying on the sideline saying, we're not in agreement on how many reps I get. I've never heard that.
Yeah,
we're not
in agreement. And then I out the coach right on primetime television. You know, I out the coach.
Listen,
so we always talk about, okay, the player's being thrown under the bus, but the player flipped the script and I'm out in the coach.
I have never seen that done. I've never seen it done.
That's
but
crazy.
Also coming to the show, we got top running backs from all over Broward County is joining the Tony Sands Show. Listen, we got Jackson Kincaid from St. Thomas. We got James Charles from St. Thomas. We got Deion McIntosh, who's just recently committed to
the Fighting Irish.
Yes. He's going up there with my main man. Archer Denson is going to be his running back coach. So he's been coached by one of the top.
Good hands. Hey, that's a good decision for a young kid. Good coach. Well-grounded. He can be a mentor for that kid and also continue his success. And he's a Broward legend, as we know.
Yes.
So,
you know,
yes,
Archer broke my record here in Broward County.
And what record was that?
All-time leading rusher in Broward County. He broke it. And then, you know, I trained the guy that went on, Tyrone Moss, who went on and kind of shattered it and set it to the heights that it's kind of impossible for anyone to go after and grab. So I had that opportunity to coach that guy, 2,000-yard rusher. And as we speak, the two guys walk into the building, Jackson Kincaid and James Charles walk into the building. I call that tandem thunder and lightning is what I call it. Thunder and lightning.
Yes, tough
tandem.
My
main man Ryan Bartow is in the building. He can't wait. I can't wait to get the news of what's going on in California and the rest of the nation. Blake Deaver is in the building.
Oh, wonderful
Blake
quarterback
Deaver
from
is
Wellington.
In the building. But then when we speak about greatness, we got Coach Rocco Casulo that's going to come to the show. Rocco is at Matter Academy now.
Doing well in that program.
Well is an understatement when it comes to that. Well is an understatement when it comes to his success.
They're making the third round of the playoffs, which is a success for that program. I think this is the first time that program has made it to the third round, and they will be facing off against one of the well-known top teams down here in South Florida, and that's in St. Thomas Aquinas. On this coming Friday. So that should be a very big matchup and a good contest for those teams.
Now, I'm going to be honest, Kelsey. When I see that, you got to be excited as a coach. You got to be excited as a coach. Here you are. You left this team for whatever reason. Then you go on to another team, and you had this team 12-1, and now you're going back to that other team to play that other team. You got to be jacked.
I would definitely think that Coach Rocco
would be excited,
and as well as his players, being that they get an opportunity. You know, if you're going to be the best, then definitely we know you got to beat the best. And right now, that team is St. Thomas down here in South Florida, and they're standing in the way of Matter Academy going on to bigger things, a championship.
It's the ultimate goal of anybody is to get to the Citrus Bowl. Because that, to me, that's the ultimate thing that everybody works for all offseason is to get to that game. And Matter Academy is on its way, but they have a team that's in its way of them trying to get on their way to the Citrus Bowl. And that matchup will come this Friday night, which we'll do a pregame show live from St. Thomas talking about that game, leading into that game. So it's going to be an exciting game.
Yes.
When it comes to this game of high school sports here in South Florida. But Kelsey, let's also get into that. And we talked about it, and we dug into it earlier. Let's talk about back to the Ohio State situation and how that's panning out when it comes to how you as a player, and I still can't, how this player outs out his coach. I'm trying to understand that. But then he came back and kind of tried to correct what was said. I'm quite sure after a long meeting with Les Miles, with Urban Meyer, I'm quite sure that kind of, hey, listen, you better get out there.
Yeah, Urban Meyer put some water on that fire.
Real quick.
Real quick.
Urban Meyer already upset with the way that the situation was playing out, the way the game played out, and all of a sudden now I get a player out in me, it's got to be something wrong.
And the thing is, Tony, and a lot of people lend it to this in saying that before a big week, it's not the end for the team of positioning themselves to still be in the Final Four.
However, I disagree with that.
I mean, they can still position themselves with help.
Listen, you said a key word, with help.
Yeah, with help.
You got to hope that help want to help. And I'm quite sure when we look at this thing playing out, Michigan State was the spoiler, and that's what they wanted to do. Coach D'Antonio was that. And Urban Meyer in his press conference came out and clearly said, hey, we don't condone that type of, behavior. In his press conference, and said, Monday, he apologized. And we squashed it as a team.
Right.
You squashed it. You had no other choice but to apologize. Zeke Elliott had no other choice but to apologize today. It's like I said, Zeke, what he said, Urban Meyer said, Zeke is a very honest guy. And I couldn't disagree with him. He should have got the ball more. That wasn't the place for it, though. He said, yeah, he agreed with what Zeke was saying.
Right.
He probably should have given the ball more. But to do it in that setting was not the setting. So he probably said, Zeke, hey, what he's telling you, you should have came to my office and we can get into that.
It was definitely wrong place, wrong time. I would definitely say that. And, you're still talking about a young kid here who's, possibly 19, 20 years old. And this kid, and he did it at an emotional time.
And trying to control
your emotions at that age, that's tough.
That's tough. When you got that type of emotions stirred into that whole thing, that makes it tough.
Yeah, and then you're looking at a possible Heisman candidate or at least a nominee for the Heisman.
Correct.
And then he's voicing those opinions, which does not look good out in the media. And then not only with Ezekiel Elliott, you then have Cardale Jones, the quarterback, the second string quarterback, then too adding to that on Twitter some of his comments to moving on to the NFL and what they're thinking about. And one of the things that you must still understand, and maybe they need help to get into the Final Four.
They need a lot of help. Don't say that.
But
you try to – You're trying to make that sound real good.
Now, there's only two bowl games that cover that. Now, you still got some other big-time bowl games that you can put yourself in to finish good, you know? You got a rivalry. You got a big-time rivalry with Michigan that you need to win because that's for the program. And then you got to look further of, okay, we have a big-time bowl game that could possibly be, guess what bowl is not included in your Final Four, where the Big Ten often gets to go.
I understand.
That would be the Rose Bowl.
I understand.
So, I mean, you know.
I understand all that, what you're saying. I clearly hear all that. That's cool. Les Miles don't care nothing about it. He wants to always drive his vehicle.
Yeah,
you got
yeah.
other people driving your vehicle, there's a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Now you got to wake up every morning hoping that those people put you in the right position.
In the right
position. And I don't think that's what he's looking for. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. We're going to play some music, and we're going to get back on with my main man, Ryan Bart. Before we go on, we got our guest on the line. We're going to, forget the commercial break, because this guy is more important than the commercial
he's
break.
He's ready to go.
We're going to get into, when you talk about coaching in South Florida, dominance coaching in South Florida, rather, wherever he goes, he wins. This guy wins. Do we have my main man, Coach Rocco Casula, on the air with us?
I'm with you, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Hey,
what's up,
Rocco?
Buddy, man? What's going on, brother? What's happening?
Just getting ready to go home and watch more film on St. Thomas Aquinas.
Wow. Coach, now tell me this.
That sounds like a coach there, doesn't it?
That is a coach. All night, all day. Listen.
He's in the lab.
Coach, you are doing it. But Coach, let's get into this thing. Now, I want to get into this. Coach, you at Matter Academy. You go to Matter
Correct.
Academy.
Yep.
You go to Matter Academy. Coach, what are some of the first things when you took over Matter Academy, what were some of the things you thought to yourself that you had to go down there or you saw that you would need to go down there and change to put you in the position that you are in right now?
Well, you know, Tony, I mean, I had a lot of options. I really did. You know, at the end of the day, my wife and I live in Pembroke Pines, and I have a 5-year-old daughter, 3-year-old son, and she actually is from Hialeah, and you know, a lot of high school coaches, even some college coaches, and some of her friends were saying, you know, you should have Rocco look into the Matter Academy job. It's a new school, and they're really supportive of their athletic program. And I said, all right, you know, let me take a look into it. And I met with their administration, and you know, Miss Minor, Miss Marty, and their assistant principal, Tiger Nunez, great people, AD Lou Sanchez. I mean, they wanted to make the football program to, you know, similar to what a St. Thomas Aquinas is. And I found that very intriguing, and it's just been outstanding. It really has the last 9 months.
Because, Coach, you know, a lot of people thought that you would move on to the college ranking with the state championships and the success that you had at St. Thomas. A lot of people thought that you would move on to the mm-hmm. college rank. I'm quite sure you had the opportunity, Coach. But give me, what made you decide not to move on to the college level and say, you know what, I think my best assets are used with young men at the high school rank?
Well, first, my kids. You know, I grew up in Syracuse, New York, and, you know, my dad was a college football coach, where I really didn't see him very much growing up. And, you know, I wanted the opportunity to spend time with my little ones for a couple more years. And then, you know, who knows? You know, God opens or closes one door, he opens up another one. I just had a good feeling about it. I really did. They have a middle school program that was undefeated last year. Our middle school program went undefeated this year. And you can really build it from the sixth grade up. And I just thought it was a good fit. You know, we're pumping a lot of money into the new weight room. And they just, wow. Everything that you want to do in a program, they're allowing me to do. So it was, like I said, it was very intriguing.
Okay, so Coach, now you get to Matter Academy and you mm-hmm. got your guys. What is the first thing that you tell your guys in a team meeting about where you want to be come December?
Well, you know, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. You know, these guys. Mm-hmm. One thing you got to do, Tony, and you know this. I had to change the culture. You know, they were satisfied last year at being 7-4, and losing 57-0 to St. Thomas Aquinas. And you look at our roster, we have a lot of talent, 9th, 10th, and 11th graders. We have some really good Division I talent. But you got to, obviously you got to get in the weight room in the offseason. And I guess to answer your question, it was just getting them to believe, hey, you guys can be a St. Thomas Aquinas, a Central, a Columbus, a Booker T. I said, I've faced some very good – I was fortunate to face a lot of good programs coaching at St. Thomas, and I saw some – we have very similar talent, at the skill positions. So I think once you get those kids to believe – we scheduled Carroll City in a preseason game and went toe-to-toe with them for a half, and then, we put our sub guys in, which is basically our JV team. I think the kids really started believing in what I was selling and what my staff was selling. And, we've just been getting better and better each week.
Coach, you face Sunset on October 30th.
Right.
That came your only loss. You lost those guys 24-16. Now, you get a chance to meet these guys again in the playoffs.
Right.
What do you tell your kids, or what did you guys take from that loss to put you in a position to where you get the opportunity to play them again and get the opportunity to be more successful with them?
Well, unfortunately for us that night, we probably played our worst game. I mean, we turned the ball twice inside the 30. We're moving the ball well, and it was just one of those off nights. And the kids, they were upset. When we went in on Saturday, they were very upset. We have our workouts, watch film, and they said, "Coach, we got to get back there in 3 weeks." And I said, "Yeah, obviously, but it's up to you." And I said, "You know what? One thing that doesn't matter." I said, "Winning a district championship during the season, it's great. Yeah, you get a banner in your gym and whatnot. But if you don't win 3 weeks from now, what does that mean? And those kids bought into that. And I think if you see the upsets over this past week, and a lot of those teams across the state that lost 3 weeks ago actually won over the weekend. So, it really doesn't matter. And those kids were hungry for this game. We were pretty banged up for the last 2 or 3 weeks. We finally got healthy last week, and we went out and played our best game of the year by far last Friday night.
Coach, Coach, man, when every time I think about the success, to be 12-1, to go from 7-4 to 12-1, man, that's got to be exciting for you, especially taking over a new program and you get to 12-1. What is that feeling like? Because a lot of guys don't have that quick success and quick turnaround when they're taking over a program.
Well, you can't look at it. You got to take a week-by-week approach. You really do. And once, I think, like James Dolan, our offensive coordinator, he's actually a St. Thomas alumni, played there in 08 and 09. He knows football. He went to Florida State, and these kids got it. We changed the whole offense. We went from a wing T offense to a more diverse spread offense. And, once these kids finally felt comfortable, it just worked, and defensively, we had some players and my defensive coordinator, Jeff Pond, done a great job, but, you can't focus on the record. You just got to focus on getting better each week. And they're doing that. Like I said, we're so young, and for these kids to pick it up, and they're confident right now. And that's what you want this time of season.
Now, Coach, like you said, you guys in a situation, you're 12-1. I'm quite sure you're explaining or telling you guys about the situation, the environment that they're going to go in. How are you preparing them for that environment?
Well, it's at the end of the day, you're playing one of the best teams in the nation. You've been there, I've been there. You know what you're walking into. Well, at least we do. And I'm just happy that the kids get to experience the environment of a Friday night at St. Thomas Aquinas. I mean, I'm jacked up. I'm excited. I'm really excited to go back there because it's just such a great atmosphere. And, at the end of the day, it sounds weird saying this, but you're playing a name on a jersey. We just got to match up and play our football and we'll be okay. You can't make mistakes and take it one play at a time and go from there. But, we're really looking forward. We had a great practice today, and the kids are really excited. The school's excited. The community's excited. And it's going to be I'm looking forward to Friday night.
Coaches, they should be excited. They got a great man running their operation. Coach, listen, I love myself some Coach Rocco. And I love what you are doing, man. I love you.
I appreciate that, man.
Hey, man, I was watching, you know, I was in Orlando, but I was checking out your score and constantly checking out. But, Coach, I looked at your score during the course of the year, man. You guys put some numbers up on people, man. You guys, the defense was playing pretty spouse pressure those first four games, those first five games, man. You guys wasn't letting people score.
Well, you know, and then all of a sudden you get hit with injuries. And, you know, obviously St. Thomas went through the same thing. It's tough at the high school level.
Yep.
It's at any level, the NFL, college, high school. It's tough, especially in Florida. You're playing a 10-game season. And we got the biggest district in the state of Florida. We have a 19 district. So you have to play eight district games. So you got to come out every week ready to play. And there's some really good coaching in our district. But, you know, our young guys really did a good job of filling in for some of the older guys. And, you know, like I said, you know, we finally we're close to full strength. And, you know, when you got kids that do what they're coached to do, good things happen. And that's what they're doing. So, you know, we're as a staff, we're very happy.
Well, Coach, I know you're on your way back home, man. You know, hey, I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to join my show because I know this is a busy week for you. You got a lot of film you want to watch. I'm quite sure your wife, during this time of the year, she'd probably get a little, you know, she'd go in her room and close up because she know you're going to be in one room closed up watching film, watching every ounce of tape to try to find what you can do to capitalize on. Coach, thank you for joining the show, man. Hey, I'll see you on Friday night, bro.
Thanks, Rocco, for coming on.
I can't wait to see you. Yeah, I can't wait to see you guys, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank you, Coach. Thank you for joining the Tony Sands Show. That was my main man, Coach Rocco Casullo of Matter Academy. His team will be facing St. Thomas. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. We're going to play us some Aston Martin, and then we're going to come right back and get into the interviews with my main man, Ryan Bartow. Then we're going Blake Diva. Here on the Tony Sands Show, but we're going to run into this quick commercial break. Come back with my main man, Ryan Bartow. Get an in-depth on what he's doing. And look out. We're going quarterback. First on deck, then we're going to go straight running back from there on out. We're going to let him hand it off to the running backs because we got some talented running backs in the building. Let's go listen to me some Ricky Rose.
That's my car.
That's my car.
Ooh.
That's my VA.
That's my car.
Ricky, you ain't never gonna get that car.
Don't worry, you're gonna get that car someday, Ricky.
Bose.
Let's pull the two-seat out, baby.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show live from Tilt the Kilt in Fort Lauderdale on the corner of Las Olas and Andrews Avenue. Listen, you heard my main man, Coach Rocco, talk about what his team needs and where he's planning to take his team from now and into the future and what he's instilled in him, young man. But guess what? Without further ado, we in the Ryan Bartow hour of the show. We're going to dig into college football, high school football, and guess what? He's going to unveil his top five running backs in the area, Kelsey. He's going to dig deep in that. Then we're going to get into some coaching situations that's going on around South Florida.
Hot seat.
California, baby, here we come. The California surfer just surfed his way through over 30-some schools, Kelsey, in South Florida. My main man, Ryan Bartow. What's up, Ryan? What's going on, buddy?
5 days, 35 schools, out in QB heaven. 75, no humidity every day. Great talent there. And outside of South Florida, that's my second favorite territory in the country because obviously a lot to do, great talent there. And you find your best QBs in the country there.
Now, tell me this. I know you find some of your best QBs, but what makes the QBs in that area and the QBs in South Florida or the QBs in Texas, what's the difference in them? Is it something in the water? Or is it something that my main man out there coaching them up on?
Yeah, they coach them, and they're in 7-on-7s, but they preach the passing game out there. They only have 40 years of history of producing QBs, which is more than anywhere else. Last year, 7 of the top 10 QBs in the country were in Southern California.
Wow.
This year, you got about 3 of the top 15. So it's just in different pockets of the country, certain places produce more positions than other places. Midwest, Northeast, you see run blockers, in the Carolinas, South Georgia, Louisiana, especially the Carolinas, though, you see defensive linemen. Obviously, South Florida, skill, speed, but SoCal is QB heaven.
Cal, QB heaven. Go, okay, you done checked them out. Give me your – and Kelsey spoke on that when it, last week. You guys spoke on some of the top quarterbacks in that area, and I had a chance to go to I was in Hawaii during that time, and I was trying to get in touch with the young man at Tua out of Hawaii. West
St. Louis High School, yeah, Tua Tagovailoa.
That's just a tongue tire in and of itself.
And he's good. I mean, he's got a big name, but he's got a bigger game. And he's all 6 foot, 6'1", plays for one of the best high school programs in the country at St. Louis High School in Honolulu. Traditional power there. He's a crystal ball lean in 2017 to go to the USC Trojans. We'll see who they hire in terms of scheme fit. Because he's on deck to potentially make his commit next spring, because all the QBs make their commits earliest. So he's one of the top junior dual-threat QBs in the country. Puts up huge numbers out on the islands, and he's definitely one to watch.
Now, when you talked about this program, when I talk to people over there, they compare this program to what a St. Thomas is in the States. They are on the island.
Yeah, because they've won more state titles than anybody. It's a program traditionally ranked in the top 25 in the country. They have anywhere between 3 and 71s every year. So, obviously, the biggest city on the islands in Honolulu, and they always got guys, and they got a lot of those poly kids that are good linemen.
There's a big guy.
High level of toughness. So,
Polynesians.
I mean, yeah, whether they go to BYU or Southern Cal or Washington State or wherever, Utah, you find a need for them.
Yeah, and like I said, I had a chance to visit because I did a little high school. We did a high school tour over there, and if you go to my Twitter page, you can see some of the guys that I took pictures with. Man, it was like I was a rock star in Hawaii.
There, high level of appreciation. I mean, I've been out there a few years back to see Scott Pagano. He's one of the top D tackles for Clemson right now.
Correct.
But I mean, yeah, it's something I wish I could factor into my business trips more often.
Listen, man, I'm riding up to the school, and this looked like something on a rap video. The way the kids are all on the window of the car, I'm like, man, what? I see why the rappers go overseas to do their thing, because I mean, just the appreciation for what we do and appreciation of things that we're bringing to them, it's an understatement that they don't appreciate. I mean, I was taking pictures like I was a rock star in Hawaii.
Remember this too, and I find this every day in my line of work. Sometimes you're helping these kids out, but at the same time you're learning and getting just as much from them. It's a two-way street.
Now let's get into, you know, California. We don't mean to leave you, but we gotta get in. We're gonna get into California. We're gonna stay there, then we're gonna make our way back east.
Sure.
Let's talk about what we're hearing at USC. What's some of the things that's going on in USC, or who
A while, I mean, I pulled, just like I did in South Florida a couple weeks ago, I pulled the 34 high schools I went to last week and asked those high school coaches in Southern California, hey, who do you think? A lot of them were, hey, Clay Helton's done a good job. He's a good guy. Maybe they should keep the interim. I think some of them felt they should have kept Ed Orgeron a few years ago when he got 10 wins there, and they kind of messed up there.
Correct.
But in the same regard, Southern Cal is a top five job. That's a gold mine.
You don't
recruit there. You pick out who you want in Southern Cal. They get the first pick.
That's the Alabama of the West.
No doubt. And You hear a lot of pro names, whether it's Jack Del Rio. A name I heard a lot when I was out there was Hugh Jackson, the former Raiders coach, who's LA native, a Southern Cal grad. Another name to keep an eye on, because he has ties and roots to Southern California, is the coach at Houston, Tom Herman, former coordinator at Ohio State. If Southern Cal brought in his offense with his tempo with those athletes,
correct,
that's how you take the program to
another
level.
And tell me this now. Let's look at my top. If you had a top three that guys who you think that's paying interest outside of the people that they have in house, who would be some of the names outside of a USC program? I know USC probably is like the University of Miami, where they want a guy that got some USC ties to it.
Well, yeah, all the guys I mentioned. You hear a lot of people say, "Hey, they're going to go with a pro guy." They call Pete Carroll. He probably says no right away.
Ah, no.
But that's the first call.
Of course.
Yeah, and then the pro guys that I mentioned, Jack Del Rio, Jeff Fisher, obviously are USC grads, as is Hugh Jackson. Those are the main pro guys that are here for that. Chip Kelly's probably going to be looking for a job potentially, so that would be a great place for him and his offense. Same thing with Tom Herman. But I think that the names that I really discussed in the first time around, those are the ones you want to focus in on that.
Now, we talk, there's a lot of rumbling going on in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
With Les Miles. How do you see that as playing out in Baton Rouge?
Yeah, I think next Sunday or Monday morning at the latest, they're
going to
be having a coaching search. And it's a twofold there, because he's won and he's done a heck of a job for 11 years in a row. And sometimes the grass isn't greener on the other side.
Yeah,
that's University of Tennessee. They're still trying to find the next Philip Fulmer, and he only won 77% of the games there, which isn't easy. So I think if LSU does open up, no doubt they'll be targeting Jimbo Fisher. And that's one of the two jobs that he would leave for LSU and Alabama. So Jimbo has obviously spent 6 years as an OC at LSU, helped them win a national title while he's there. Very fond of Louisiana, and some people feel like he's ready to move on from his time at Tallahassee, which that would open up another big domino potentially.
Yeah. Domino effect, where it opens up, like I said, that domino effect of where coaches could possibly be potential land. Not only that, I read earlier a couple of days ago where Lane Kiffin possibly will be, I'm quite sure his name is going to be a hot name that's out here in the market.
Well, I mean, obviously cats have nine lives, and it seems like he's got about 80. So, I mean, how many times does this guy get a job and he doesn't win?
It doesn't even make sense. It amazed me how his name stays relevant, though.
I guess he's still young, and he gets a reputation as a recruiter, even though he doesn't really sign anybody. He's got a heck of an agent.
Now, that's what he had.
Yeah, that's the guy that needs to get hired is his agent, not him.
Because he tend to, like you say, a cat with, nine lives. They say this man stays relevant.
Yeah, what did he ever do to get the Tennessee job, the Raiders job, or Southern Cal job?
And he got the Raiders job real early. Oh. You're young in his
right place, right time, I guess.
And you see, you didn't pan out there. You didn't pan out at USC, but yet.
Didn't pan out anywhere.
But here I am now. And then you done ran the well dry. In Alabama, when I looked at that,
he won't be there after this year.
Yeah, when I looked at that mix, when I heard that he was going there, I said, that mix, that just those two chemistries just don't seem to mesh to me, and I knew that probably wouldn't be a marriage that would last long. When you look at Lane Kiffin, to me, Lane Kiffin remind me of that California guy, that outgoing type of guy, and Nick Saban is one of those kind of more laid back,
old-fashioned, hard-nosed.
Lane Kiffin is one of these young guns, rock star type of guys, because that's what he comes with. He's like a rock star coach.
Let me put it this way, and we saw it in the national semis against Ohio State last year. There's only one thing that can stop Alabama from winning it all, and we saw that last year, and that's the guy calling the plays, Lane Kiffin.
Wow.
Yeah. Their only hurdle from winning it all.
Yeah.
And it was the same way last year. So they blocked the punt. He comes out with a halfback option pass, throws an interception.
Exactly. Hello. Hello. Here we go. Hello. And they say, hello. Listen, now let's get into it. Now let's bring it on down to high school. Let's bring it to high school. Now,
nice.
Your level of.
Back in paradise. Paradise A. I spent 12 days in Paradise B. Listen, but I'm back where I belong.
You are in South Florida.
Yes.
And tonight. We have a lot of running backs in the building.
Great
we
kids.
Have,
all four are D1 kids, too.
We have D1 running backs in the building. There ain't too many shows that can say they can bring this many D1 talented running backs in the building. But we bring them. And they're going to get interviewed by who? The man, the only guy playing this game that has carried. It ain't a guy that carried the ball more times than me in a football game. I'm not bragging, but I'm just letting everybody know. 58 times in one game, bop. Don't nobody do that. And at one time, I was the guy that carried the 396 yards. But, hey, we're going to let those young guys
and
dig into that.
Most of all, you're a South Florida back.
That's it.
You have a connection with them.
And the guys, listen, and I love that connection with them. I love spending time with them. I love talking with them because I know, these guys are not guys that are 6'2", what they consider as those in that bigger back range.
Because running backs are like D tackles. Those are the two positions where height matters the least because they're pad level positions.
Exactly. Now let's get into yours, you know, because you is this what you do.
Yeah, I like to shake it up.
Let's shake it up.
I always like to, I mean, he's not my top five, but I think he's the biggest sleeper in South Florida.
Okay.
And he'll be interviewed later tonight is Khalil Herbert
at
American Heritage. Obviously got the speed, the upside, production against Unreal. Schedule, academic. So I think he's the gem. Oh. And he's a guy that I think is going to get something bigger come this winter. Number five, I got Devontae Henry Cole. He's at St. Thomas Aquinas.
Okay.
He's a Utah commit. Obviously a lot of speed, can catch the ball well. Most of all, he's committed to one of the best coaches ever, Dennis Erickson.
Yes.
If Dennis Erickson
signs
off on a kid, I am too. Number four is a guy we got in the house here, and Deion McIntosh.
Yes.
A lot
of
upside, a lot of speed.
Yes.
Comes from a great family. Committed to Notre Dame last Monday, so he's a fit in terms of an all-purpose spread back that can also move out to the slot. Number three back in South Florida, you got to go over Alligator Alley, over to Naples.
To Naples.
And Carlin Fails Aim, he's a Tennessee commit, a four-star guy. He's a veer back, tough kid. Uh-huh. He's originally a Haitian kid. He's got, he can go slash for you. He's got an edge to him, so I like him. My number two back is up at Oxbridge Academy in West Palm Beach.
Yes. Oh,
that's that's a huge program ready to blow up. They're loaded for years to come.
Yeah.
Miami commit Travis Homer. He can hit the home run. He's a downhill guy. He's got that South Florida speed. But nobody has more South Florida speed than my number one back in South Florida this cycle from the Gables, Amir Ruzel.
Yes.
Currently committed to Florida State. We'll see if he winds up there. North Carolina. Maybe he's like everybody else, waiting for Miami to pick the right guy, and then he stays at home and gets to spend his next 4 years in paradise. But the thing I like about Amir, one, high-level character kid. Two, he's a legit 4-4 guy that can hit the home run at any time.
Now, you said he's probably waiting to see who's going to get the job at Miami. Let's dig into that one now. Let's not. We ain't going to scare it away from that one.
Yes.
We going, because everybody that's listening here in South Florida want to know what's the latest on the University of Miami coaching search.
And that thing is on deck here. They're doing interviews this week because they'd like to have the hire next week. So, I mean, this thing is hitting its stage here. And I'll tell you this much. I know the committee met with some former players last week, like John Vilma, like Joaquin Gonzalez.
Yes, I heard that.
And they're obviously looking for the same four guys that we thought when the search started in terms of guys that have ties to South Florida, guys that have Florida ties, guys that have Miami roots. So Joaquin came out and he thought it's a Mario or Butch deal. Young with Cristobal, who knows all the recruits and has the best odds of keeping the kids here, or Butch that was, you know, 64 and has been there and kind of done that before at UM. The other guys in the league group as well, 3 and 4, are Rob Chudzinski, who's currently dialing up the plays for the Indianapolis Colts. So you'd have to wait definitely till January, till his season's done. And Greg Schiano's been out of the game for about 2 years. He's trying to, you know, get any job he can right now.
Yes.
And you know what? A potential fit for him is something that opened this morning in Syracuse.
Yes.
I think he would be a tremendous fit there. He did it at Rutgers
before.
Plus, Rutgers is a tougher job now. Syracuse in the ACC, that's a little more winnable.
I think that's a
guy to watch out for. Syracuse, another name to watch out for, one of my favorites in the country. Mm-hmm. I think he's as good a D-line coach as you're going to find, is Eddie Orgeron at LSU. Come next weekend, him, like a Kevin Steele, like a Corey Raymond, they might need jobs.
Yeah.
And when you're at Syracuse, he used to work there in the 90s, so he knows that program.
He knows the familiarity of it. Correct.
High personality recruiter. So when you're up there, you got to talk kids to come in there, because you probably only are going to offer 2 or 3 kids in state every year. So I think that's somebody that will get everybody excited to get that Carrier Dome rocking again.
But now, you know, there's a sleeper that's in this thing that new names keep, it's like a turtle, keep popping his head up out the water, even though somebody pushes it back down. Charlie Strong name is still kind of, now, I've seen this happen before. You have all these names in that one dog horse. Now, Kelsey, that's what I said when you talked about a dog horse. Mm-hmm. Charlie Strong would be the dog horse in this race here, but he started denying it. He said no. But now I heard some of his interviews. He never said he would not take the Miami job. He stated right now his course, main attention right now, is at Texas.
Yeah, and obviously – the reason he got the Texas job is because of South Florida kids.
Exactly.
The kids, when Randy got fired at Miami that went to Louisville, that's the number one reason why he won at Louisville.
Correct.
So he has ties and good respect here. When I polled all the high school coaches, he was maybe second or third of guys. He did get some votes there. He's a guy I think that could come in and clean up their defense pretty quick. You're just concerned with offensively, they might even be worse than they were right now, and that's hard.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I mean, that's your concern there if they do make that hire. But he's on the books at Texas. They got a new, they're getting that new AD there. And you keep hearing him, too, saying, hey, he's in it for the long run. The only reason he would leave is to get in the front end of something. But you don't see too many guys leaving a top three job,
like, yeah,
you know, for one that isn't,
but now
pay as much.
He still is not penciled in. He still got two more. And they said that can go either way. If he bomb out in these two, he can still possibly wind up. And I think that's why he hasn't came out and clearly stated, guys, that he's not taking the Miami job.
Yeah, and it's going to be difficult given their injuries and just the season they're having against Texas Tech. And then the week after, I mean, I think Baylor will probably blow them out pretty significantly,
and that's
on
be
December 5th. So, but at the same time, you don't pull a plug on a guy after 2 years. In an A-level job like that, usually the minimum is three.
Yeah, the minimum is normally three in certain situations. Yeah. Now, right? And
at a gold mine like that.
In certain situations, the minimum is normally three, but some people don't get an opportunity to live up to three until you can get your kind of guys in there that you like. You know, I still say there's some, where there's smoke, there's fire possibly. You know, my main guy, I always said it, you know, it is what it is. It's Mario Cristobal for that job to be a quick turnaround to get the fan base at the University of Miami back to where it needs to be. You're listening here on the Tony Sands Show to my main man, Ryan Bartow of the Ryan Bartow Hour. Ryan, listen, we're going to get into pretty soon. We're going to, you know, after next week, we're bringing in St. Andrews. But the week after that, we're going straight wide receivers in the building. Kelsey's going to get a chance to pick some wide receivers. We're bringing wide receivers in the building.
The top pass catchers.
I want you to text me over your top
Well, team. 2 weeks ago, I already gave you my top five
wide receivers.
And, you know, some people liked it and some people couldn't handle the truth.
When I got out, when I went out to these games, kids were coming up to me saying, wait a minute, hold on, how you guys leave me out? And I was like, wait a minute, hold on. What? Man, he was on your show. How y'all leave me out? You ain't even stand up for me. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on, brother. You can't come at me like this. All I did is ask the expert. He gave me his expert advice, and I got to run with it.
Yeah.
You got to put more numbers in the books in order to get his attention because you
Especially
are the
at
man.
That position where you got 29 guys from Palm Beach down that have D1 offers.
Correct.
I mean, comparing raspberries to strawberries to South Florida wide receiver.
Yeah. Oh,
South
man.
Florida, remember, we're in skill, talent, heaven here.
Yes.
So,
yes,
I mean, you might go to one school and see one you like, and then the next school has one just as good.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Listen, Brian, man, I can sit here. We can chat this all day. I got to run to a commercial break, and then we got to get into some of these running backs. But before we get into them, we're going to get the quarterback on, and we're going to let him then hand it off to the running backs. We got my main man, Blake Diva, in the building. Blake Diva will be going up. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. 1 minute, get back to that Ricky Rose, and then we're coming back with the guy that leads Wellington.
Jordan F, this right here is crazy. I feel big, you know what I mean? Like, not big in the sense of weight, you know what I mean? Like, gaining weight or nothing like that. Like, colossal, like, you know what I mean? Like, I heard you were looking for me.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show live at Tilt the Kilt with me and my main man, Kelsey Dudley. We're bringing in the guy that leads the ship over at Western Wellington, making them do what they do in the game of football. We with my main man, as he called himself on Twitter, D Beaver 4. What does that mean, man? We got Blake Diva here. What's going on? What that mean?
That means a lot. I mean, B Beaver 4 is just my initials, and what I used to be number 4. So
okay, all right, okay. He made it real simple. Let me tell you something. When I got to tell Kelsey this. Kelsey, when I'm trying to put it on Twitter and I go to putting Kelsey, the tag Kelsey, his thing is so long that it takes up all the space. I have to go and make a whole nother, tweet it out a whole nother chance to get him on. See, Divagate, hey.
DB4.
Yeah, that's what you do. You wind that whole thing out. You take up all the numbers on the space. D, let's get into it, man. What was it like transferring to Wellington coming from St. Thomas for?
It was really different. I mean, it's just the talent at St. Thomas was, I mean, amazing. But, I mean, at Wellington, I had Amon Richards, I had Austin Gilman, and I had a great offensive line. And, I mean, the coaching was just a little bit different. I mean, our coaches were good at Wellington. Our coaches were – there's just a lot more coaches at St. Thomas and stuff. But it was good. It was a great opportunity to actually, like, come in and have, like, be the man and stuff. And, I mean, I wouldn't be able to do anything without, like, my coaches or my offensive line.
To be wanted. To be loved. That's got to be a great feeling for you. Now, you had pretty good success at Wellington.
Yeah.
I mean, what were some of your numbers that you put up this year?
I threw for like 2,800 yards and 31 touchdowns.
Wow, 31 touchdowns. Did you imagine or envision when you went to Wellington that you would throw for that many yards?
No, I didn't think I'd throw for – I knew I was going to throw for – I mean, I knew I was going to put up over 2,000 yards, but I didn't think I was going to hit 2,500, but – I mean, 31 touchdowns is a lot. I mean, I also had Amon Richards as my receiver. He's going to either Miami, Alabama, Auburn, or Tennessee. And I had Austin Gilman. He's pretty good. He's going, like, I think he has a couple of Division I schools and Division I AA schools looking at him. And, I mean.
It helps when you're throwing to guys like that. What do you think, Kelsey? It helps.
Hey, big time players, you know, are going on to big schools. So it gives you opportunity to get to move the ball around. So.
Now, I saw you, you know, I ran into you up there watching St. Thomas play. Were you, you know, those are you guys that are good friends with you. What's the future for Blake Deaver?
Like college-wise?
Yes.
I'm not sure yet. I got a couple options right now. I mean, I got North Texas, Idaho, mm-hmm. FAMU, Savannah State,
okay.
North Carolina Central, and a couple other schools. But, I mean, right now, like, it's my coach keeps on telling me, he's like, all the colleges are going to start coming
don't
down.
Start rolling
down
through.
They're going to come. And when they come see Amon, they're going to come see me too. So, I mean, hopefully correct. A couple big schools.
Yeah, they got to see you because you're the one throwing the ball to them.
Yeah.
So your
yeah.
highlight is the first highlight that they see if they're watching anybody and that you have that rocket arm. Right? Probably one of the strongest arms I've seen here in South Florida is your arm. And that's one thing, you know, when you're looking at the quarterback position that a lot of people can't teach.
Yeah.
You attempt to try to teach, but you can't teach that strength in your arm. You can build the guy up, but sometimes that tends to come natural like it does at the running back position to where either you got the vision or you don't. Either you have that arm or you don't, because you can train some guys. You can get them big and get them stronger, but when they don't have it, they just don't have it.
Yeah.
And you're one of the guys that I see that truly, truly, truly have it. But now let's get into the academics. How you doing as far as class go?
Class-wise, I mean, right now I got a 3.1 GPA.
Okay.
And my test score, I got a 20 on the ACT. I'm trying to get it up. I'm taking it again on December 12th, I think. So I'm gonna retake it, try to get a little higher. So, like, I can even have more options, as my coach tells me. If I have a higher scores,
okay,
it'll open up my options a little bit more. And school at once, it's a little different at St. Thomas. I mean, you can wear whatever you want, first of all.
Hey.
I mean,
they love – I'm quite sure Wellington is glad – that you decided to go back home, come back home, because I said, you know, you live in Palm Beach, I consider that as home for you.
Yeah,
they were glad to get you. It's not often that you get a gym quarterback like a Blake Deaver, and you're able to let him fall. He, you know, hey, it's right there for the taking, man. So, you know, you continue to do what you do, man. Listen, we're having a quarterback night here at Tilt the Kilt, and probably about 4 weeks, probably be the fourth or the third week, that, you know, after the state championship game, because we're going into then, we're moving into signing week to come. So, listen, man, pleasure to have you on the show. You continue to do what you do, man. And, you know, like I told you, my doors and my phone is always open to you. Whatever I can do, we're going to do. We're going to make sure that your name get out there. Guys, listen, you're listening to the show, and I do have a lot of coaches listening to the show. This is the guy you got to come see. When you look at arm strength, he has it. When you look at quarterback size, he has it. When you look at speed and quickness on his feet, he has all the tangibles that it takes to be a quarterback at that next level. It's my main man, Blake Deaver, and you have him. Thank you for joining the show, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Continue to do what you do.
Thanks for
coming
on. We're
going to go to a quick commercial break. And guess what? Blake's going to hand it off to the running backs, and we're bringing the running backs to the show. I'm saving them two guys. We're going to head with my main man, Deion Bush, Notre Dame, and Autry Denson. We're going to see what they're going to do. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. Play that off. Play it. Take us into a commercial break. My producer, Don.
Yeah. Yeah. It's here. Rockland, Rockefeller collaboration. Tone the referees of both worlds.
Welcome to the best of both worlds.
R. Kelly.
Your time.
This is Stuff Run on the right way.
Come on, Jay.
I pull up with the big boy truck. Big boy drop. We be the only big boys that the big boys watch. Sing to them, yeah.
Yes,
welcome to the Tony Sands Show. Me and my main man, Kelsey Dudley, as we interview what I call the next star with the Fighting Irish. Now, let's get I get into this now. Tell we got the Irish got to send you something else because I'm seeing you wear something that said Category 5 on that thing, man. Irish, listen, Archer. I'm going to get on the phone with you.
Representation.
Archer, listen, man. Listen. I know y'all can't send it to him, but God dog it. I want some gear. Some Notre Dame gear.
Send him
and we're going to make sure that he stay clean, but I want the Notre Dame gear. Listen,
gear.
Man. Let's dig into this thing. You make the commitment to Notre Dame. One of the highest rated backs in the country, but you commit to Notre Dame. You forgo Miami, where your big brother's at. You forget Florida State and say the heck with Florida. I'm here, not the state. I'm going to Notre Dame. Give me a little bit on how that happened. How did the University of Miami, with your brother being there, how did they let you get out the backyard?
I mean, it'd be good playing at Miami with my brother. But, you know, I started thinking about other than football, you know, after football. So getting a degree from Notre Dame, you know, you'd be set for life. So
wow.
Not only for football, but going also going to school, getting an education.
You know, I hear you say this. Let me tell you something. When I hear you say it, it's hard for me because I train you, and I know every time I look at you, you got that funny little smile on your face. And then to hear you say, you know, there's life after football. You know, there's other things that go into it. I may want to, you know, once I get a degree from Notre Dame, you know, I could be set
I'll
for
be
life.
Set
That's
for
how
life.
I'm seeing that come from you. Every time you're always laughing, and you can never get a serious moment out you.
Yeah.
But now you go straight serious. Straight face, so I know you already are Notre Dame material.
He had that talk with Pops.
That's what he does?
With Pops.
That tended to happen. I know your brother. Is your brother I know they probably still having your brother to put that pressure.
Yeah, they were trying to have him put a pressure on me, but, you know, at the end of the day, he wanted me to choose a school that's best for me.
Okay, now, Archer Denson, my main man, one of my main mans is up there. He's going to be your running back coach. What is Archer saying to you?
I mean, he want to – mentor me almost every day, so we talk every day, almost every day. You know, just having that relationship with him. He didn't want to rush the commitment, so he wanted to take my time, talk over with my family. You know, and when I felt comfortable about it, that's when I made that decision.
That's smart. And that's what I like. I told you, I know Archer was a great back here out of South Florida.
Yeah.
You know, Archer broke
great back.
As a matter of fact, Archer broke my
great back. Great back.
All time lead rusher to come out of Broward County. Me and Archer, you know, we talk a lot when he's here. As a matter of fact, he's sending his son down here to train with.
Uh-huh.
And when a guy at that level sends his son down to me to train, you know, hey, I take it with high esteem that he pick a guy like me to train. But he also now he know that I am the man when it comes to South Florida. We ain't gonna even let that go unnoticed. I am the man.
Yeah, we know that.
Listen, I am. And man, listen, let me tell you something. Training you during the offseason was a pleasure because to watch you go from a freshman to now where you at is unbelievable, man.
Yeah.
It is an unbelievable accomplishment for yourself, man. It's going to be different now.
Yeah.
It's going to be different. It's a lot different now. You remember those days when I was in your face and I'm all on you?
Yeah.
You're going to get a lot of that.
I know.
But now, that's what I tell guys, Kelsey. I prepare guys for that. And I tell guys, George Rushing came back and told me, he said, Coach, everything you told me was true.
George.
You know, and because I was a strength coach and a coach at the college level, so I know what they're expecting. From day one, you must go up there and set your standard from day one.
Mm-hmm.
Don't compromise it. I'm here on business, whether in the classroom or on the football field. That first impression is a lasting impression.
Gotcha.
You understand that? That bar none. Now, what is it like? Now you're moving on. You know, you're leaving your buddies at Colonel Gibbons. What was that last game like for you when you knew that was going to be it for high school football?
It had me in tears, man. You know, just playing with my brothers, you know, and just being at Carter Gibbons all 4 years, playing my last football game, high school football game, man. It brought back memories. For real, brought back memories. I had my sophomore year, I have my bit boys on our old line.
You had dogs, as I call them.
Dogs out there blocking for me, yeah. So it brought back memories of when I first started on varsity. You know, just thinking about my future now. What things changing? Got it changing. So you're going to the next level, do big things.
And one thing about you have a great family support, man, and that's never take that for granted. Because you're going to go off to college, and you're going to see a lot of guys that don't have that support. They don't have that great family support. Some guys, when you have it reminds me of a guy, Sheikah Preston, and we used to joke with him a lot because his dad was at every game.
Yeah,
Ben was at every game. We said, here go Ben. But not knowing now as an adult, man, that had to be special because my mom only got a chance to see me play one time. And that was when we came here to the University of Miami to play. Other than that, she had never been there. And I think sometimes, you know, guys mess with you because they want that. And I never had that opportunity. So, man, listen, I'm going to tell you, anytime your parents come to South Bend, touchdown, what they call it, touchdown Jesus.
Touchdown Jesus.
The Golden Domers.
Okay, now, have you taken your official visit to Notre Dame?
Yeah.
Give me a little insight on that, man. Everybody don't get the opportunity to go to the University of Notre Dame on an official visit.
Went out there, got off the plane, airport, man, it was cold out there, man.
Cold, you better get your jacket, brother, because it's going to be some cold days down
from up there. Don't buy your jacket down here. It will not work.
I wear two jackets at the game, man. It was cold. Well, you know, they fed us, gave me a quick tour around the campus, the facilities. Got to see Chester and Jesus, the temple, all that stuff. So it was really nice, you know, the, like Christian school up there.
A lot of history out there. A lot of history with Notre Dame. Yeah. Lots of history. Heisman Trophy winners.
Uh-huh.
You get a lot of that at the University of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So you understand where the bar is at. But you a guy I know that can go and meet that challenge with no problem. With no problem, man. You stay low-key. You stay who you are. Continue to be who you are. And, man, listen, you will go far. You that type of back that everybody's looking for. I can line you up in the slot. You are that special back that not too many guys have. Certain guys are just bruisers. Certain guys are slashers. You have a combination of both. And that's what make your rank so high, make you so valuable.
Yeah. Get out there in the open space, make a move, make a play.
Now, Dion, I know you had you back in your sophomore year, you had a very strong team, very strong O-line. Me and Tony both know from following the program that as you got into your senior year this season, a little bit tough on you, a little bit of challenges because you had some younger guys that you were kind of had to step into the leadership role. Now, with that being the case, how do you think that particular leadership role has prepared you for now what you're moving on to the next level at Notre Dame? How will you look at things going now to the next level and not take those possible things for granted?
Now, just by being a leader this year, you know, being a leader to them young guys, I think in college, it also fall over, you know, just me being a rookie, being a freshman, coming out in there, make a name for myself up there, you know, just coming out there, being a player, you know, getting on guys, even as a freshman, getting on guys who's not doing their job. Yeah, so I think it plays a big role in that for me stepping up, being the leader for my team this year.
Good.
You're here on the Tony Sands Show talking with my main man, Dion McIntosh. Notre Dame, look out, here he come. Now, you better where to get your gloves, but like I say, wait to get up there and get all that gear. Take
ski boots. He's going to need ski boots.
Take all, buy everything up there. But you know the difference, though, in college football now, they're able to get the guys' jackets. Yeah. So they'll get those big jackets trust me, they know what the temperature gets.
Like, Letterman jackets. And
I
all
played
that
in that
stuff.
Cold
yeah.
weather.
That's
so
what
I know.
Mean. I was wearing a bit jacket.
Yeah.
I know what that feels like. I know what that feels like coming from South Florida going to Kansas.
Yeah.
That first game I played in, it was I think it was, at that time it was Missouri, was the coldest game I had ever played in my life. Ever in my life. You know, they had the big heater blowers because we didn't have the chairs that had They had the blowers. And it was about six of us that was from South Florida that were freshmen. We sitting by the blower. All of a sudden, Coach Mason say, "What the heck is that rubber smell like? It's burning." And everybody on the field, everybody that was over the top, that's them Florida boys. They shoes melting. Man, my turf shoes were melting. I ain't care. They can burn off. I want to make sure that I stay warm, man.
Yeah,
you make sure you stay warm and do what you are supposed to do, and that is tear up. You don't know the Dame. Like I said, you can go far either way at the University of Notre Dame, academic and athletics. All you got to do is go in there and get the job done. Listen to Archer Disher because he is that
That's
guy.
A good fit. That's that a good guy. Fit. I like that fit.
I like that.
That's
don't go nowhere fit. Because guess what? We're going to all take a picture. Running backs here.
Yeah.
Tonight, we're going to take a picture. We're going to go to a quick 3-minute commercial break, and we're bringing back Jackson Kincaid, Lightning, and we're bringing back James Charles. The Thunder and Lightning combination coming here on the Tony Sands Show, talking with none other than who? Me, Tony Sands, and my main man, Kelsey Dudley, here on the Tony Sands Show.
Being on some chips, we go 0 to 100 real quick. They be on that rap to pay the bills, and I don't feel that shit, not even a little bit. Oh Lord, know yourself, know your worth. My actions being louder than my words. How you sold, I've been still sold down to earth. Cause we won't do it, we can do it on the turf. Oh Lord, I'm the rookie and the vet. Shout out to the die holding down the set. All up in my phone looking at pictures from the other night. She gonna be upset if she gets
both of these guys run for it. They go and get the job done. Listen, I'm here. It's a pleasure here on the Tony Sands Show with my main man, Jackson Kincaid, and Mr. James Charles, as I call them, Thunder and Lightning combination at St. Thomas Aquinas High School. They were here with, ultimately, you know, they chasing what I have established at St. Thomas.
Right,
exactly. They chasing that when it comes to backs. I'm considered one of the greatest to come out. But, man, to sit here and interview you guys together is a pleasure, man. Because when I watch you, St. Thomas using you guys now like you're supposed to be used. Listen, pound, pound. //.
Right.
That is exciting. James, let's get into it. I'm gonna ask you this question first. When people look at you, what do they think about when they think about a running back? Because I think about a guy that can hit the home run and can put that pounding on him and wear defense down.
Right. A lot of people see me as a power back guy who could run people over, you know, fight for tough yards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got really soft hands. I can catch out the backfield. A lot of people notice that. A lot of college coaches, you know, and my coaches that I have now. You know, I can hit the home runs too, you know. You know, you got Kincaid on the side of, you know, that he known for that right there. I'm the guy that's going to pound all day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people think of me a big bat, you know, but I say I can do it all.
You can do it all. Mm-hmm. Now, Kincaid, the question goes to you. Now, you know, I know what you're going through.
Yes, sir.
I done been there. I done been down that road to where people judge our statue, but they don't judge our heart.
Yep.
And if they can measure that heart, they'll get something that they can't even measure with stars because we're beyond the atmosphere of stars. What type of back you consider yourself?
Well, I feel like James Charles is really the Thunder on the Light, and I feel like I can make the big plays, go around the edge, and pound it up the middle if I have to, you know, run you over if I have to.
Now, you got some power because I was stating even last week when I watched you guys play against Dwyer, I saw you in between the tackles. And, you know, me and Michael Irvin was talking, I said, man, he can run between the tackles. Yeah. You know, I have a hard time when people say, a small guy can't take the pound and a small guy can't run between the tackles. I tell people all the time, I beg to differ. You find me a running back that have carried the ball more times than me without getting hurt in college football, and I pay for it. And it's not been a guy. I went through a whole season with only 2 fumbles.
Yep.
But carried the ball 58 times in one game. So don't hand me that about, the small backs can't take the pounding. Sure. That they can. That they can. Now, you guys getting ready to play Space Matter Academy. You guys, you know, Coach Rocco is there, and you know, now he's at Mattern Academy, and you guys getting ready to face him. What is some of the things that Coach Harry is preparing you guys for the atmosphere and the game of this magnitude that you guys are going into?
Well, I can answer this. First off, some people are calling the Casulo Bowl, which is, you know, nothing personal. Coach Casulo had a close relationship with a lot of the guys on the football team.
Exactly.
You know, and it's actually it's a blessing to see his team take his team that far, you know, his first year. And just sad to say we're going to have to, you know, it's going to have to come to an end. We the one that's going to have to do it.
Now, Jay, wait, hold on there. You know, when I talked to you, because I was trying to pull up your phrase that you used. What game was that you used that phrase in?
Against Booker T. They do all this.
Come on. I know I can have it on my show because I love when you did that, man. Let me tell you something. I could, because I was trying to have my producer to figure out how to conform and get it right. Yeah. Come on, you're on the show, so now you can do it. Now.
I got you. They do all this, we do all that.
Now, listen, I love that when it comes to, man, that, because that was a classic to me.
Yeah.
That was what I consider a classic, because Booker T came out doing a lot of that.
Yeah, a lot of that from the summer, from spring.
Because I know when you guys were sending them guys out at camps and things like
that.
You know, here
that's all it was.
Broward versus Dade, because that's what they pretty much make these games out to.
Right.
Then they try to, when you guys beat them, they stated, well, Booker T was rebuilding.
Yeah, I mean, they say
we played
that.
What you put on the tape.
Exactly. Right, they say that. But, I mean, we also lost 22 seniors, starters.
Exactly.
We had two seniors come back, Sam Bruce, Nick Bosa. So what's the answer for that? I don't see it.
You know, when I see you two guys, because I know JC can talk. He's one of those hype guys.
Yeah.
What are you like pregame? What's your mood like? What are some of the things you do, Kincaid? Because you seem like the more laid back.
Yeah, I'm laid back. James is the one that gets everybody hype. So I'm pretty much listening to him the whole time, motivating me. So, you know, that's it.
You know, I could imagine what the locker room atmosphere, what the running back, because like I say, you guys' running back coach was my fullback.
Right.
When I played. And we were like that.
Yeah.
Stan was more the laid-back type of guy. Didn't how like was quiet. I was that rah-rah guy. Come on, Stan, we got to get it done. Listen, I want you to go in that truck. That's what we call him, truck.
Yeah.
Truck, I need you to go and blow some holes on me because I don't want this. I don't want to get dirty.
Right.
Yeah. If I get dirty, I got a problem with you, bro.
Yeah.
I do not want to get dirty. Have they put something together where they got both y'all in the backfield together?
Yeah, we got a package that was both of us together. You know, it's like – It either go Jackson, me, and I mean that's pretty nasty. And I mean I think what the reason is we do so good against opponents is Jackson to be in 3-4 plays. I'll come in fresh legs.
Three, four
plays. Jackson come back in. That's killer defense.
I want to see how do they defend when they put both y'all in the same backfield.
Nah, you can't.
How do you defend that?
You can't. Tony Sands, you can't.
When you look at the listen, you guys are the best combo backs to me in South Florida that I've seen. And I tell people all the time, when it comes to judging running backs.
Yeah, you know.
It's a lot of people out here that write stories and do things, but I'm the man. I played it. I'm watching it. I know what it takes to be a running back. Some people can read in books and assume they know what it's like.
Yeah.
But until you are in that situation, I tell guys that all the time. Until you are in that situation, you can truly say that you know. You can assume when you're not in that situation, but once you're in that situation, you truly know what it takes and what it's going to continue to take to be successful. Now, you guys are going to be going off to the college level.
Yep.
What are some of the things you think that St. Thomas has prepared you that's going to help you once you get to the college level?
Discipline. Discipline is the main thing.
Yeah.
We're known as a standard for the nation.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm prepared for, hard work. Yeah.
And see, the work is not going to be hard. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to see when you guys get there that what you guys are going through now is going to be no different.
Right.
Getting up early, because it's not too many programs where you guys have to get up at 6:15,
yep.
Get in the weight room, get your stuff done, then go to class, and then go to practice after.
Exactly.
You know, there's not, and I learned that when I went to school. I'm like, I learned some states play 8-man football. I learned some states don't even have spring football because I didn't know it at that time because we don't have this, you know, internet world like you guys have.
Right.
I didn't know that some guys don't even get up in the morning and work out.
What has, and Roger played the running back position.
Right.
What has he taught you guys between him and Coach Scott? What do they tell you guys about playing this position?
Oh, man, they teach us everything, man. Last week against Dwyer, Coach Scott, known as Coach Truck, talked about being violent, you know what I'm saying, yeah. Hitting home runs.
Man, it's hard to hear you say that Coach Truck say something like that, because he would have never said that in our day. We got to be violent. Guys, now y'all know we got to be violent. It would have been hard for me to see that coming out of his mouth, but when I hear you say it, that mean, and you say it with conviction, and I saw what you guys, how, once that running game got going.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a running game guy.
Yeah.
You guys went to win Dwyer out. That's when I said, okay, hey, guess what? This game is in their hands. Because I saw you guys went to pounding that 1-2 thunder, lightning, boom. And you kept giving it to them. And they didn't know how to prepare for that type of fresh legs, continually a fresh leg coming in. Now, it would have been hard. I'm going to be honest. It would have been hard for me to share that. I was just a selfish type of guy. It's tough. It would have been tough for me in this new type of system, of this two-back system. It has just been hard for me to adjust, but that's the norm now.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I realized the reason why it's the norm, it saves you guys.
That's
you
true.
It'll save you guys down the line on the pounding that a running back takes, because you're going to take a lot of pounding, especially at that next level.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be a pounding that you guys take, man. Listen, it's a pleasure to have you, because I got two guys that's chasing what I have.
They're chasing to get to it.
They're trying to get to it. Listen, you guys continue to work hard over there, man. Listen, I'll be at that game. We're doing a pregame show prior to that game. So,
yeah,
I know y'all ready. I know you ready.
It's going to be a movie.
I know KK sitting back there. He that quiet type.
He's the silent killer.
You got to watch him. Like they said, your mama always tells me, listen, when you got to be careful when you fight somebody that never talk.
Oh, yeah.
Because them be them dangerous. The ones that do a lot, you know, okay, I know where he coming. But that quiet one, them the kind that just walk up to you, they don't say nothing, and all of a sudden they hit you in the back of your head before you know it, you knocked out. You don't know what happened. They done took off running, and it's all over. Yeah. Listen, you guys continue to work hard, man. Let's keep this thing rolling.
We're going
to go to a commercial break. I'm going to pay my main man, Jay-Z, the best of both worlds, because St. Thomas have what? The best of both worlds in Thunder and Lightning here on the Tony Sands Show at Tilt the Kilt with my main man. Kincaid and Mr. J.C. James Charles. That sounds like a rapper name, J.C. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's here. Rockland, rappers from the collaboration. Tone the rap, the best of both worlds. Welcome to the best of both worlds. R. Kelly. This is Stuff Run on the right way. Come on, Jay. I pull up with the big boy truck. Big boy drop, we be the only big boys that the big boys watch. Sing to them, yeah. The combination of Pappy Mason and Larry Davis, Martin and Malcolm, this is bigger than the album.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. Welcome to the Tony Sands Show. I got my main man, Kelsey Dudley, and then we got Mr. Wayne Blair here on the Tony Sands Show. Join us, University School. He got the U all over him. It ain't the U with the orange and the green, but it's the U with the blue and the white. Coach, to me, I always say you one of the hottest assistants in the game. You've coached, took BA to where you took them at. You went on the West Coast over in Naples and handled your business over there. You come back here, and now you help University School become successful. Coach, what do it take when you guys go into University School, because you've been there, been around the program when Roger Harriet was there. Now you go back there, and now you're trying to lead this program into what I call that upper echelon of greatness, and they bring a deepness of mind like you in the building. Coach, what is it like over at University School for you?
Things are great. Coach Luque, good friend, borderline family member of mine, brought me in. Obviously, I left over there from Island Coast High School and took upon the opportunity of not only new birth, new family.
Exactly.
Having all of us come in, and we got some young guys over there that, you know, played at the program. Michael Barish as a running backs coach. We got Dougie Cook, who's our offensive coordinator, who's Player of the Year.
Uh-huh.
tutored under Ryan Schneider and Roger Harriet back in his heyday. Went on, had a good college career at a D2 school over in Pennsylvania, and now he's back, man. He's fresh out the gate, and we're doing a lot of the same things that made university school successful as far as, you know, being able to put up a lot of points and, and to make it quarterback friendly and running back friendly.
Exactly.
With Mr. McIntosh, who you just had on the show. He's got a younger brother.
Now, man, you talk about McIntosh. Now, you know, listen, I'm going to tell you something. And let's get into that, because I was waiting to open that up, letting you give me the lead into that. Now, when I look at, you know, I look at Rocket Ismael. When Rocket Ismael and them came out, and, you know, him and his brother, they called his mother the launch pad because you had a rocket and you had a missile. Then I interviewed Bosa and the Bosa brothers, and I called his, I think he called his mama Big Bear, Little Bear, and Mama Bear, and Papa Bear is what they called themselves as a family. Now, when you got a stable of breeding athletes, the McIntosh, Big Daddy McIntosh, Middle McIntosh, Little McIntosh, and then not only that, now you got, forgot, they got a daughter that's an athlete too.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, what do I give?
I like the Breeders Cup, man.
That's what you're going, the Breeders Cup. There you go. Okay, all right, now you heard Wayne call it the Breeders Cup, so Mama, if you're listening, we call you the Breeders' Cup now. You are the Breeders' Cup because you are breeding out some heck of an athlete. I mean, you look at the brother down at University of Miami. You look at Dion going to Notre Dame. At some point in their household, they can have three Division I athletes in their household. How many families can truly say, how many dads, how many moms can truly say that I have three Divisional I high-rated prospects in their household, man?
It's a rare commodity, man. I mean, you know, Daddy McIntosh, good
the
man.
Breeders Cup.
I talk with him all the time. We around Cup. and I'm looking to him for advice as I'm in this battle.
You know, we talk about that. What is now? I had the pleasure of training both the older McIntoshes. What is the young brother? Because the young brother, now his upside, when I start, his upside is straight up. Now, you know, you look at Venus and Serena, and you remember Daddy Williams said that Serena, even when Venus was, you know, at the top of her game, was winning all, Daddy Williams said Serena would be the better of the two. And a lot of people couldn't see that because at that time Serena had gelled into what she gelled into. What is the younger brother like? Because I've never had, right now, haven't had that pleasure to put my hands on him. But I'm going to get my hands on him. My hands are hot, folks.
The good thing with young Kenny is we calling him right now, we calling him the blueprint because offensively, I mean, he's played over three positions on offense from a Wildcat quarterback standpoint, running back to slot receiver. Defensively, this year alone, he played five different positions for me. He played corner. He played strong safety, free safety, middle linebacker, and outside linebacker.
Wait a minute, hold on. How do you play? So he's just all around do it yourself.
He's got an infinite, I'm going to say, he got a vast knowledge to be able to pick up on things. And the one thing that I learned as far as being in practice with him, you can't give him the game plan over time.
Correct.
You're better off giving him the game plan on the spot and on the fly.
So you're saying not only is he an athlete, he's a smart athlete.
Correct.
So to be able to play corner, strong safety, free safety, and middle linebacker, especially in your type of defense, because I know you're doing a lot of moving around, and then to go and play quarterback, running back, and wide receiver, that takes a special athlete, because I know he was getting beat around a lot in that stable of that family
He was that last guy on that totem pole coach. So when Daddy got mad with us at the top, everything rolled down here, and he was at the bottom of the hill. So I know he got stepped on, especially when Daddy wasn't there. He probably got slapped across his head 1,000 times. I'm going to tell my dad and mama when they come home. And then they threaten him. Now, if you do that, the next time they leave out, things going to get a little rougher. So I'm quite sure they made him tougher.
I'm going to say he's definitely not the run of the litter.
Okay. You said he's not the run of the litter.
He is not the run of the litter.
Now the sister got the sister brings a mean swagger with her too. Now, the sister brings a mean swagger with her too. Now, so I'm trying to figure out. You say run of the litter. I'm trying to figure out where that litter, where the litter is at, because the sister ain't nothing to be played with neither. Now,
might be an all-star breed, huh?
Yeah, look. I'm trying to figure out that. You know, I'm trying to figure out where you say that run, where that other. I'm trying to figure out where all this thing lines up at, because I'm looking at any point in time, I'm quite sure the sister gave all of them, heck, when she wanted to, because she was protected a little more. You know what I mean? You know, hey, you know, and Daddy McIntosh ain't no small man himself. Now, and Mama McIntosh, she can handle her own now.
Yeah.
So I know at some point I'm trying to figure out when you say he ain't the runner of the litter.
Look.
I'm trying to figure out where he fall on that pole now.
Me and Kenny got a long-standing joke standing. It's still going to this day about, I told him one day, you know, it was a grading day on film. Uh-huh. And I told him, I say, man, I'm going to take your ribs if you come over here and you show me something like that. He was like, man, you going to take my ribs? I say, man, I heard about your daddy ribs now. I'm going to come over to the house. I'm going to take your ribs.
Now you probably really going to have to fight for them.
Though. Exactly.
You got to fight for that.
Exactly.
You got to fight for that. That stable there, you got to fight for, bro.
And, hey, ever since that day, he comes back to me every day. Now, Coach, he ain't going to come over to my house to take my ribs, man.
He's letting you know. Wait a minute. Hold on. Now, he might be telling you that, hey, listen, you ain't going to take my ribs because I done had a lot of that happen before. And I done prepared myself for the situation my ribs would not be taken. Now, my big brother took them. Brother after that took them. My sister snuck them at times. You know, like that commercial, that McDonald's commercial when it said, had to look away and somebody stole your fries, that commercial back in the day.
Yeah.
He's making sure that you understand. Now, listen, I'm at the bottom of this totem pole. If I don't start eating, things ain't going to look right. So I'm telling you, they done took in the house, but I'm not allowing somebody from the outside to do that, to understand that. Hey. Now, tell me this. He would be considered now. He's considered, you say, the blueprint, so he's considered one of your leaders for next year. But he's still a young guy.
Aside from our quarterback, Henry Columbia and Al Blaze, which everybody's, you know, primarily a youngster.
Uh-huh.
You know, Al's a sophomore, and Columbia's going to be he's a rising senior.
Correct.
But for the young guys, yeah, he's one of them guys. He's definitely one of those guys that they look up to. They speak with them. I'm gonna say he's wise beyond his years. He's playful in the sense, but I mean he's a kid, you know. But when it's snapping on that chin strap and it's time and you need something to get done,
they get done.
old Coach Blair be hey Kenny, come here.
Get it.
Like, Coach, what you gonna put me in at this time?
Well. Hey.
It's best to be, I don't know, I ask people all the time, is it best to be wanted or needed? I'm leaving that question.
I'm going to say.
I'm going to let Kelsey answer that first. Kelsey, what do you think? Which one is important, wanted or needed?
It's best to be needed.
Needed. Wayne, what's your opinion on it?
Again, in life, you got wants and you got needs. You can live without your wants.
Yeah.
But you can't live without needs.
So he is a needer.
He's a need, man.
He's a needer. They cannot live without him over there at University School. And that's why I brought it up.
Hey, now that segues into this part of you say that's one of your needs, and he's an all-around player for your program. You had a wonderful season. You guys made it into the playoffs. Now, one of the players that I'm intrigued about, and this is a player that you guys, Coach Luke K, yourself, has been putting out there from an offensive perspective, because I train receivers. is your top receiver, Josh Ali. Mm-hmm. Now, and you're saying as, you know, young McIntosh being a need player for you, where does Josh Ali fit in your program and guys that you look to as being an up-and-coming rising star on your program?
Look, I'm not, again, I will not go on record stating that I cut anybody's lifeline short in the sense that I didn't give anybody their publicity time.
You ain't get Josh, nobody any love.
Joshua Ali is a need love. Guy as well. So I'm going to go ahead. Fahim, if you're listening,
AKA Daddy. You are a need. We listen to you as a need.
Joshua Ali is a need guy because he went from the X receiver. He went to the Y. He did a slot. He did punt return. He did kick return. Same like Kenny. I put out him on defense as well. He played corner. He played nickel. He played free safety.
Oh,
so need guy.
He's a need guy.
Al Blades.
Now, listen, we on the Tony Sands Show. Wayne, we got about, my producer telling me, we got about 90 seconds. Because next week, here on the Tony Sands Show, St. Andrews is taking over the building. And they are considered people that wear the tilt, the kilt. As I call them.
The Scots.
Yeah, the Scots. St. Andrews Scots. They're taking over the building. They say they will flood this place. They're coming because this is like home to them because if they wanted to, they can wear
their little kiln. The kiln.
Ain't no Kim. Kim, you're talking about a person's name. It's a kilt. It's a kilt. See, I called it a skirt, and then you changed me. Now you going to come out of kilt.
Kilt. I'm not wearing one, though.
Not.
Not wearing
I don't
one.
Know. I might wear one. I keep on saying every week that I'm going to wear one.
I do it with socks, man.
I know you would.
We're here live from Tilt the Kilt. We're talking with my main man, Kelson Dudley, and the top coach, Wayne Blair. We're closing out here at Tilt the Kilt in Fort Lauderdale each and every Monday. You're going to catch myself and Kelsey as we dig into the hot topics. Take us away with that Jay-Z. Welcome to the best of both worlds, because that's what this show brings you, the best of both worlds.
See you next week.